For the first time ever, Illinois high school football practice starts in the first week of August. The IHSA moved the season up a week to make room for an expanded playoff field, and the vote was anything but unanimous, with 290 schools in favor, 245 against. So while the rest of us are still thinking summer, the Silver Streaks are 3 weeks from putting in the work that decides their fall. Galesburg High School head football coach Sean Hickey joins us in studio this morning. So, Coach, good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And so, jump right into it, Jay.
Yeah, well, you know, we mentioned the expanded playoffs, and, you know, the byproduct is everything moves up a week. Walk us through what's changing, and where did Galesburg come down on this early start, you know, and the expanded playoffs?
Well, one of the hard things about it was how long it took this winter for the state to get to this decision, because you had to have the ADs weigh in, athletic directors weigh in, and have the dialogue and conversation about it. But ultimately, it came down to when you look at teams and schools and their availability to go to like a postseason, the IHSA and some of the coaches wanted to expand that. They want to have teams get more greater opportunity to go to the playoffs. That came at a cost. You know, they wanted to the current state series would be done by Thanksgiving, and it would run right up to that, and they would have the state series go. And so in order to extend the playoffs, you had to add a week somewhere. And the discussion came was, well, do you cut a week out of the schedule? So do you go from a 9-game schedule down to an 8-game schedule, or do you start a week earlier? And that went back and forth for quite a while, and we know that in that decision was to keep the 9-game schedule and then to go a week earlier. And then the week earlier part, you had the pediatrics who came in about safety and concussion protocol and how many practices you have to get, because it was not going to be a full 2 weeks before our meet the streaks, if you will. It was going to be only a week and a half. Then they had to settle on the number of days in which you could be practicing before you can have the first game. And that all fell out, and that's where we are out at week day one, excuse me, as being August 5th.
Well, and there's a new requirement, the 12 days of on-field. And so with that opener coming up August 21st at Dunlap, you know, how – you know, talk about the math changing the outlook of your summer.
Yeah, well, but those 12 days start August 5th.
Okay.
It's not going to be the whole summer. The summer itself still has the 20 contact days, but we can talk about that in a second. But the 12 days, really, if we didn't practice on a Saturday, we would only have 12 days.
I see.
And so I'm going to have to put in some those Saturday practices just to make sure that everybody's going to be able to hit those. You know, we're still, it's going to be a change because we've always started within that first week of school. And that has always been, summer's hard for some kids to be able to get to the practices because they may be ride dependent or whatever it is that the insecurities that they have to be able to get there. School always helps with that. So you attend school and then you roll right after school to practice. So I've been trying to instill the kids, you know, understand we only have 12 days and it's not going to be, you can't be hit and miss. If you're hit and miss that first or second week, you're not going to be eligible to play in the first game. Now going into the summer, when we had those 20 contact days, well, the other thing that the state changed was and this is why when you talked about the numbers being split, not unanimous very much, is because they moved that dead week. The dead week used to be the first week of August. And if... programs know and families know that dead week is that first week of August. Families would choose then to have vacations.
Yeah.
And so when it was coming out around in January and February for this vote, there are some coaches who know that they have kids or players and their families that first week of August, they're taking vacations. And so also keeping in mind this number of 12, that if that family is gone that first week of practice, they won't be eligible for week one. And so that's why there was a big divide in going a week earlier, I think, for that. So what the state did was they moved the dead week to be in coincided with July 4th, which ends up being like a good divide between June and July. June sports that are busy, baseball is still heavy in June. Basketball is doing their camps and their summer leagues. And then from there, they're done by July, and we kind of ramp up more in July.
Visiting with Sean Hickey, Galesburg head football coach on Galesburg's Morning News. So we haven't talked really since the end of the 2025 season. Talk us, what happened during the offseason? How did all the workouts and weight sessions go?
I think it went really well. We still believe strongly in having multi-sport athletes. And doing so, we're able to track the kids who are in season for their basketball, their wrestling, their track seasons, baseball seasons. I'm leaving some out, but we like kids to be doing those sports and being active that way. And then what we also have is for our workouts is the in-school classes they have for weight training. We're able to monitor them in class. So when people ask me, like, yeah, I like kids showing up after school, I'm like, well, I really don't, because we push our kids to be in that weight training class. And what they come to after school for us is more like speed school, mm-hmm. twice a week. Through that, we've been able to have good gains and see kids. And this speed school is not just for football. It's for the whole school. All sports, all genders are able to come to the speed school because we want to train the athlete. So we have that's been taken off this past school year, more interest in that, more kids participating in that to become overall better athletes. So I think overall, our winter and spring workouts went very well.
Talk numbers a little bit. How many do you project, and how does it compare to last year?
I'll go back 2 years because that's when I was hired late June.
Yeah.
And I say this because I'm proud in the movement that we've had within the program, because it was a shaky summer. And when I showed up that summer, there were 38 kids that were on day one when I was there. Day one this year, June 1st, we had 80 kids.
Wow. Nice.
Those are consistent numbers too. They're reliable. This is my first full, what I would say, as a fiscal year in terms of budget and getting my feet under me. I know I had last winter, but this winter, able to identify who the kids were, know what they were doing, what their plans were, and really keeping tabs on them. So when we showed up with 80, that was kind of about what I thought it would be. You know, right. My numbers were more reliable than what I had last year in terms of, that's on me, you know, of knowing and communicating with kids and knowing who is going to be there. Last year, I had about 120. And then when we started, there were only 60 that showed up. So this year was more reliable. And I knew, had a better pulse of what the kids were doing, who was going to play. And they showed up in June. I would say most of the time, we are between upper 60s, low 70s for kids to be there. But that's still outstanding for us. And we have the young kids who are in there able to also watch the reps of the older kids. And then they get their reps.
How do you go about increasing the numbers?
Well, one of the things was to get more coaches in the building. All right, so we're able to recruit and talk with kids and make connections with them that way. We've had a good group of our coaches. We're in a junior high level, so they've been working the junior highs because those are the kids that they have in class. And they've been able to keep our numbers up good for them coming in. I think that's a big part of it, because we have two strong junior high classes that we worked with, so our current incoming sophomores and our current incoming freshmen. And our current incoming juniors are a good number anyway. That's how we've done it. The other part of that, I think, is win. That's what it comes down to. If people look at it and say, well, you went 1-8 and then you went 2-7. And to some kids, the effort, the sacrifice that goes into it and to only have 2 or 3 wins is not what they want to do. It has to get to a point where we're able to change that. We have to get to a winning season. And I think that once we continue with the recruiting that we're doing in-house and have a winning season and continue to promote that culture, then I think numbers will go up.
Any changes to your coaching staff this year?
I think with high school, there's changes every year with the coaching staff. Our defensive backs coach, Carson Johnson, took a job up north in the suburbs. We wish him luck. As he moved out, then we brought in a defensive line coach named Gavin Brown. He is the same age as Coach Carl, and he went to Peoria High, and they actually played against each other. Okay. They didn't know it until they met and started talking, and they actually played each other. It was the game that we played here a few years ago when Peoria High was ranked first in the state, and we beat them.
Right.
That was the game that they would have played. So they've had some good conversations reminiscing about their teams and going against each other. So Gavin Brown is our new hire for O-line, D-line.
You've also got some competition days coming up, a couple of 7-on-7s at Rock Ridge, the Brady Street Jamboree. So what do you get out of stuff like that?
What I call for that is, every day we want kids coming in and we want them to be consistent with their workouts. But with football with any sport, when you're doing your open gyms or you're doing the open fields and those type of things, you're constantly going against the same people. Having the competitions like a 7-on-7 or a joint practice allows our guys to what I call is the fun part. It's the things you look forward to. For basketball, they have summer league. They go, they do their camp, mm-hmm. and they go and have the fun, as I call it. They're able to go and do the league, which is fun. Our fun is limited because it's hard because there's so many numbers. The sport itself is demanding. And when we have these opportunities, it's our fun time. So we have 2 7-on-7s. We had one last Thursday. We have one coming up tomorrow. We had the Bracer Jamboree actually changed last Friday. It was a, I don't need to get into it, but we went last night to Moline for a joint practice that had Moline, Maine West, City High out of Iowa City, and Rock Island. So we had a, we had fun last night and going to that little joint practice with them. And then on Friday this week, we have a joint practice with Allman.
Okay. Talking to Sean Hickey, Galesburg High School head football coach. So we heard earlier this summer that Allman is not going to field a team, hence you won't have a game, as far as we know, for week four from a coach's perspective. How does that impact the program?
Well, I mean, we want to make sure that we have games. You know, I don't want to look a senior in the eye and say, well, you know what, you don't get nine games this year, you get eight, and if you have playoffs, then you get your ninth in. But we want to make sure that they have their nine games to play for that. Right now, we have to, on our end, we have to post that. We have to try to put forth good faith to find somebody to play that week. And I think we have to do within reason. It's supposed to be a home game for us. We don't want to go to Michigan to play a team.
Yeah.
You know, and there's we have to be smart with that. But we certainly want to get a game, but we don't want it to be at that expense. We don't want it to be something where we're traveling 8 hours out of state. Because this happened last time Allman did that. We had to go to Indian Creek over in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And it was a 5.5 hour drive. And we want to try to avoid that best as possible. But we also have to try to get something in there. I mean, we want our kids to have that game. We don't want to lose that game.
Where does it stand in the process? And is there a drop dead date where you just have to say we're not going to play that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know about a drop dead date. You know, I think that'd be a better question for Nick Young, our athletic director. I don't really have that answer, but I mean, we have our, it's on the IHSA website, you know, of availability. The hard thing is it's week four, and most teams are in conference play by mid-season.
Yeah.
And that's what's making it hard to find that. And so that's kind of where we are with it. We don't have a schedule yet. We don't have a team there, but we're still working on it.
Kind of changing gears a little bit. Community service has been a pillar of your program since day one. Why is it so vital, and what's the team been up to?
I think it's very important. One of the things that, you know, we're coaching a sport, and within that, we're also trying to teach humans. We want you to be a good human being. And, you know, how you treat each other in the field, how you treat your opponents, how you treat your officials, those type of things carry over to probably how you treat your parents at home or your guardians, and how you treat your friends or your girlfriends or whatever it might be. We're trying to be, as I say, we are 10 males that are, I don't want to say surrogate fathers, but we are trying to be role models for these kids. You know, we don't want to replace any fatherly figures, but we are here to be as fatherly figures for that. And I think that the if we go out to the community service, that's part of it. You know, here's how we all harp and we talk to the players about what it is to be a contributing person to a family dynamic, what it means to be a contributing person within a school dynamic. And we also bring that in as well as being the community dynamic, is what you give back, you know, how you carry yourself and what you do in the community. This is all part of us trying to develop these individuals to grow up to be young men and women. And I say women too, because we have managers that are with us as well. And we give them the same information. You know, we want them to be part of it also. So they take part in our community service as well. The things that we do, it's kind of a couple of things. One, we do like a school spirit. You know, we say, hey, this is going to be this is what we did last year. This winter was the sectional game that we went to for the girls basketball game. We went there. Where was it? Metamora, is that where it was?
Okay.
Morton, I forget where it was, but we got the activity bus and we drove kids there. We had the kids go to senior night for baseball. And we do that. So some school spirit.
Yeah, I think you went to a band competition.
My first year we did. Okay. We went to Dunlap to see the band. It didn't work out last year for us, but I'd like to rekindle that as well. That's part of our school spirit. But then the community service part is taking part in what's going on. You know, we have the Shooting Hoops and Smiling event that we do for Special Olympics. We hosted this year at the high school, the regional sectional, I forget what it was, for Special Olympics track. And we had workers and groups going out there. We're going to help set up tomorrow for the Taste of Galesburg.
You've done small things like clean up people's yards.
We've done that. Yep, we've done it as well. The past 2 years, we've also been part of the NAACP back to school event at Kiwanis Park. We'll get our shift going for that as well. We just want our kids to understand the importance of being out in the community and giving back. Once they buy into that and the community sees us out, then maybe they might want to come out and watch us. You know, they've done this for us. They're putting in some good work. And in return, I might go watch them. And I told them, you want to have, you know, people in the stands. You want to be able to do that. Winning helps as well, but also let them know that you're good people. When you're a good person first, those qualities shine, and people want to come out and watch that.
There we go. We're talking to head football coach Sean Hickey. There's also a lot of football coming for the younger kids, too. You got some camps coming up. Can you talk about when they are and how families can get signed up for those?
Sure. All the camp forms are on the Galesburg High School or district, excuse me, website. And I think it's under forms or camp forms. They're able to go and view those. What we have coming up is starting next week on Monday. It's going to run for 2 weeks as a junior high camp. Incoming 7th and 8th graders have 2 full weeks of camp going. That begins at 5:30, and that will be on the old Van Dyke field next to the stadium. So anybody who's coming into junior high, their camp is starting up, okay? And those forms are getting online. We also have the youth camp, which will only run next week from Tuesday to Friday. We call that the Friday Night Lights Camp. That for 3 days, that goes at 4:30. That's grades 1 through 6 are able to go to that. And they will be the last Friday, that was the only Friday, I guess. They go at 7. That's part of our Friday Night Lights, is to be able to get them under the lights there. So 4 days of a camp for the little kids. And again, that form is available online. We also have signups going in for JFL. So people who are wanting to not only take part in the camp itself that we're offering for Friday Night Lights, they can also be doing the sign up for JFL. And when we run our camp, Ryan Williams will be out there as we are taking camp forms for the camp. He's also there for people that want to sign up for JFL as well. I think we have a good relationship with the youth programs here in town for football.
And then you have the discount card fundraiser that's going on. How can people get a card and support the program?
Yeah, the clock's ticking. We only have a couple of days left on it this Friday. So we have 2 days in order for us to get all these sold. But it's a leading edge we have. We've done this for years in terms of having a discount card out there. And the person, our representative, I think, did an outstanding job of going around to some more of the local establishments. And on the back of that card, we're going to have things in there such as Gimpy's or Innkeeper's, Jimmy's Pizza, Orange Cup, Scooter's, McAllister's. So McAllister's more franchise, but we also have some more local ones that people go into. Very excited about this card. The card has some pull tabs on it as well. We have some Hy-Vee, Sidetracks, Buffalo Wild Wings, Bunker Links. The Bunker Links itself pays for that. I mean, you can use it. It's a one-time use, and you get one. You buy one's green fee, you get a second one free. Those are usually about $20, $25, and that alone will pay for the card. You know, it's going to pay for itself. On top of other, we have Culver's and Dunkin' Donut in there as well. I mean, one of the things that we want to talk about is for the community to know in buying these cards. Of course, you can get them from any of the players that you might know, or certainly reach out to the school itself to get it. But we have an incentives for these. You know, when the kids who are selling them, they're able to get some of the team gear. And if somebody in the community wanted to help out a player to perhaps get their incentives met, they could reach out to the school and say, hey, I want to buy a couple of cards. And if this money could go to, you know, X student to help them reach their incentives, that's always a nice thing to do as well. I mean, the kids are trying to work hard to get there, some end up short.
Yeah. One final thing I wanted to ask you about. There's at least one change coming to Van Dyke Field, CBI Bank Stadium. You have a new video board that's up. Is it operational? Have you seen it working?
We haven't really had the full training on it yet. I think I'm waiting for Mr. Young to get the full train on that and to be able to train us on how to use it. I think for right now what we want to use is just basically the normal things. The horn, and we want to have our segments timed and have it up there so we know and stay on schedule for the things that we're doing for that. Last week I was talking with Russ Ulrich was in, and I was sending him some images, some stock photos of things that we can have that would be up there for transitions or whatever. But for the most part, I won't have much to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the athletic department and putting up advertisements or however else they're going to do that. I don't know. In terms of any type of video and replay, I don't know that that's probably something that's going to come from within the school, you know, students or whatever. And I don't know where that is in terms of getting it ready. But I know that Russ Ulrich was doing some work last week on that. looking forward to it.
Probably hard to benefit from a replay like in the NFL versus in high school. You know, I mean, pretty good. It's nice. Pretty sweet having a replay.
It's nice to have it. Yeah, it's nice to have. But they won't use that for any type of
a pick six. You're not watching yourself as you're running up there. You know, yeah.
Certainly not Illinois' jumbotron. They had the largest one, University of Illinois. Did you see that? The largest one in the country.
Yeah,
that they have for that. So we won't have that one. No.
Yeah, it looks like it belongs in Vegas.
But yes.
Coach, we are out of time, but camp wraps August 1st, first practice August 5th. The Silver Streaks open the season Friday, August 21st at Dunlap. Home opener is going to be August 28th against Limestone at CBI Bank Stadium. Before we let you go, any message to Silver Streak fans, how the community can support the team this fall?
Oh, come out and watch us. You know, one of the biggest things that we've been, I think I have a good relationship too with the other people who are part of Friday Night, and that's going to be the Friday Night Lights itself at home. Is a community event. We are very close with the band. We promote each other, the color guard, the cheer team, the cadets. You know, when you come out to a home football game, you're getting more than just a football game. It's the best ticket in town to be able to get out there, and you're going to be entertained with the pregame with the band, the national anthem. The band stays in the stands, and they'll do some stand music. You know, when we get first downs, they play. It's a very good environment. Cheer squads going. Halftime, the cadets go out and perform, as well as the band for their halftime show. And that's one of the things that I think that people want to come out and watch. We start putting a better product out there for football. People will stay longer than halftime.
Right. Sean Hickey, head football coach, Galesburg Silver Streaks. Coach, good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Don't forget, you can hear every Silver Streak game all season long right here on WGIL, like we have for 70 years.